One of the things we have as believers, as an advantage, is the indwelling spirit of God. And many times, we only have our mindsets pointing to the things of the spirit only when we come together as a local church or as believers. But see, the things that you learn in the auditorium or in the meeting rooms where we come together are not just things that should stay with you or you remain in the room or should remain in the room once you walk through the door. There are things that should be converted to practical or to practicalities for our lives, for our systems, for our structures, for our environments, for our families, for our work. It doesn't give anyone an advantage. Yeah, there's no advantage in the fact that you only listen to God's word. You know God's word theoretically, but your life practically is far away. The gap between your knowledge and the life that you live is quite imagined. So the local church is the theater of God's power where God's word is taught, so that you can take that word that is taught, the power of God in the word that is taught, out into your real lives. So when instructions like that come this morning, like what came this morning, don't listen to them as things that are just in passing. Go back to your notes and listen to them. Go back to your private spaces and pay attention to them. Go back to your spaces at home and feast on those words. Ponder on those words. Because those things that seem to be challenges are not actually as complex as you've made it feel. Are we together? You know, there is no single person who doesn't have challenges. There's not a single person. Everyone has what they are going through that seems to be complex. But what I'm saying to you is, don't amplify an issue that ideally should be 3/100 and make it start seeming like 90/100. Do you know what I found out? Many believers are not even going through as much challenges. What makes them feel bad or down is the fact that they are thinking on the small challenges. Yeah. I was speaking to someone the other time and I asked, okay, so I itemize the issues you're talking about. Itemize it. And there was just, I think it's just maybe one or two. And I said, so it's just these two issues. And I intentionally use the word just these two issues that makes you feel like the world is on your shoulder. When you have a life of murmuring too much and complaining too much, let me tell you what is missing. You are not a grateful person. Yeah? You're not grateful. You're only paying attention to the things that go south. And that's the natural human instinct. 500 things can go well, but once one thing goes south, you just think that that is all you need to pay attention to. Many times, we are paying attention. So we're using all our hearts, our energy, our mind to think about the few things that are not going well. That's not what the word teaches. The Bible lets us know that as long as we remain in this world, tribulations and trials will definitely come. I want you to think about it this way. I'm saying to you that many of us have not been in the place where we've put our life on the line for the gospel. And we're getting overwhelmed. So what happens when we now get to that place where we are putting our lives on the line for the gospel? How do you expect to feel? Someone say, Pastor, you are not just a sensitive person. I choose not to be sensitive. I choose to be a word man. I choose not to be sensitive. I choose to be a word man. I was talking to one of you yesterday about how the world we're living right now, everybody seems to be walking on eggshells. Everybody's trying not to overstep. Everybody's trying not to. If that's what the world is saying we should live by, as believers, we should not live that way. Yeah, just believers, you should not live that way. So I'm saying to you, that which you seem is complex. That which you seem is the most He's the most, you're not going through. Now people want to be competing on who is going through more things. Like from part of the world where I come from, right? We want to show that we suffered more. Where did that come from? Somebody tells you the story of how they move from grass to grace. You're saying, you've not seen anything. How you see that mindset is what we actually bring to even the challenges we go through. So when somebody tells you their challenges, you try to amplify your own challenges so that you can out-challenge the challenger. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Because that's the way the devil wants to make you feel good. Because, so you know what people do? Some people now lie to package their challenges. Somebody comes and tells you, I say, I've been looking for a child, for instance. I'm waiting for the fruit of the womb for a child. You say, don't even know anything. They're still even learning. Out of which that no boy is even saying hello to us. Why did you have to say that? Watch, no boy is saying hello to us. Is what you are trying to use to compete with somebody who is married and said they're looking for a child just because you want to feel good. So what will happen to the person who is looking for husband? You start seeing yourself as a failure or as somebody who is not beautiful because no guy is stopping you. So what do you do throughout the week? Use Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays to ask yourself, who will stop me? In fact, you go to a bus stop, you see empty seats, is the seat where one brother is sitting. You go and sit beside, say hello, so that they will see you. How far can that take you? You can say, I choose to live in God's word. Say it like you mean it. I choose to believe God's word. Hallelujah. I'll just teach for the next 30 minutes, right? Then we'll be out of here today. So 12:10 will be done today, right? Open your Bibles with me to Romans 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Romans 13, verse 8. It says, owe no man anything but what? Romans 13, 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For what? He that loveth another hath fulfilled what? The law. Now let's read verse 9 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For this, thou shalt not commit what? Adultery. Is that a law? Thou shalt not kill. Is that a law? Thou shalt not steal. Is that a law? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Is that a law? Thou shalt not covet. Is that a law? And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly what? Comprehended in this saying. Namely what? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Everybody look at me. Say, the Bible says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Bible says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, what does the Bible not say? The Bible does not say, thou shalt love your neighbor the way you want your neighbor to love you. All together. Thou shalt love your neighbor the way you want your neighbor to love you. Bible does not say, give the kind of love that you want your neighbor to give you. It says, thou shalt love. Now, if you look through verse 9 very well, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Is that correct? Now, if we look through the character of God, remember we saw this yesterday, last week, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as what? Dear children, and walk in love, even as Christ has what? Given himself. Altogether, right? So the Bible says that thou shalt not commit adultery. Is that a law? Is that a law? Thou shalt not covet. Is that a law? Who is the back giver of this law? If we want to trace the initiation of this law, who did it come from? God. So when the law says thou shalt not kill, and God kills, what is that? Do as I say, not do as I do. What is the word there, follower? Mimicker. Is that the word last week? Imitators. So that means you are to mimic and imitate what you see God do. So if God is the one that says, thou shalt not kill, it's because he doesn't kill because he's upset at people. Altogether. Many times, we find it very difficult to actually comprehend very basic things like this. Somebody will say, but in the Bible, there are many scriptures of all the people that are killed and everything. Who are not fighting the same Israel today? Hold on. We come to a conclusion that God destroyed cities because they were fighting Israel, have they? Yeah? The Israel, are they not still being fought as we speak? So what has changed about God? He's now long-suffering. In the last 100 years, have you heard of a city that God wiped out? No, let me not say that God wiped out. That was wiped out. And we trace it to they were not accepting God's law. I don't think we should have any country called an Islamic nation in this world today, if that's how God relates with human beings. I don't think we should have any country today that will say is an Islamic country, if that's how God relates with people, or is an unbelieving country. So the reason why thou shalt not kill should make sense to you as a law is because your God is the one that gives life. If you ask yourself a question, I've never heard from part of the world where I come from, right? It's in West Africa, for those that don't know. It's a country called Niger area, for those that don't know. Now, from when I was a teenager till now, there are a sect of people that have been commenting the churches in a part of my country. Is that correct?
No problem.
Can we say this has happened for over 15 years? More than 15 years. Are there churches that have declared fasting?
No, sir.
Did they fast? Did they pray? Have you ever heard that in the camp of those people, they just started dropping dead? Anybody that says yes, that means you are part of them. Because how did you know? Something that makes you to know that people drop dead in their camp, you are a part of them. Even if at all, people should drop dead. Have you ever heard that there, if God, if you were God, and you wanted to destroy a people who are attacking people, who should you go for first? The leader now. But the leaders, people know what I'm trying to say here. Many times, what you want is not what God wants. Look, if God was that way, who goes around to look for people to kill? We should not have the book of Ephesians and Galatians and Romans and Corinthians and all the letters that Paul wrote. Because who was Paul? Bible says in Acts chapter 7, Stephen was stoned to death. Remember that? Stephen was stoned to death. The Bible says in chapter 8, verse 1, it says, they brought their coats to the feet of who? A man called Saul. So who was Saul? Saul was the one that was helping stoners, chief stoners. You want to call chief stoners? Chief stoners, people that were stoning Steve, he was helping them hold their jackets. He said, ah, my brother, it looks like you don't have the freedom to throw your stone. Bring your jacket. And he was holding all their jackets for them. And they stoned Stephen. Now, look, listen to me, everyone. They stoned Stephen to the point that Stephen died. Oh, yeah. They stoned Stephen to the point that Stephen died. The impression we have of God a lot of time is that God will just, you know, he will just come from wherever he is and just do like, I don't even know all this. Is this Superman you call them? Now, it's Eric that will give us the name. You know, what's the name of the one that will just come and put his hand on the floor and fire will just scatter around? Spider-Man? Superman? Or Batman? Come on, say Shungo. Amadioa. Yeah, Thor, yeah, you know what I'm trying to say? But look, that Saul, listen to me, that Saul was not killed suddenly. And God was so patient with Saul to the point that God visited Saul. I don't know of any other disciple or worker or scriptural man in the book of Acts, right? Maybe maximum one, that God had an encounter with one-on-one. Who says that when Paul had that encounter, he fell to his face and said, Lord, that is ex boko. If you get it, you get it. Are we here? Ex boko. Today, we wanted to talk about the things of the Spirit. We could not talk about the things of the Spirit without going to ex boko. If God killed everybody for how bad they believed, or how bad they behaved, or how bad they lived their life, who are we going to preach the gospel to? Where are we here today? Why am I saying this thing this way? You cannot live above the understanding of your God. The reason why that person, the person in your life that offended you, you think you cannot forgive them, is because you think that God is a consuming fire and you are his precious child. Have you not realized that Christians will fight? And a Christian will be telling another Christian, if I be a child of God, so me, who am I? Yeah? Except God is not my father. Okay, so who am I? You understand? Christians will be using the name of God to fight themselves. You know what that is? That's a revelation of their knowledge. What makes you think you are so good that God will back you to fight me? Are you with me? What makes you think? Wait, what have you done? Study the word, you don't study. Pray, you don't pray. You know, people that even talk that way say they don't have a Christian devotion a lot of times. You don't have Christian devotion. You don't go to church regularly. If I accept God, you offended me. One lady was crying the other day, one of my friends, said, no, except I didn't serve God with all my heart. Except God is not my father. This guy cannot break my heart like this. Chop your Greek fast. Yeah. The word there, chop, is the Greek. Yeah, that's the word there, chop, right? That word there, chop, just really means you season it properly. Eat your breakfast well. See, you can't break the heart of a child of God. So the person that broke your heart is who? Is child of devil. Is that mindset that makes people think, have you heard some lady say, hey, God deliver me from that man? No. What if you are the person God delivered that man from? I'm so happy. So if no matter how bad my life would have been, I know it would not be this bad. If this guy was still in my life, they gave you breakfast, you have to eat it. It is life. But why do you think it's only you that God is protecting? Do you understand what I'm saying? I think it's only you that God is protecting. No, I don't take nonsense. Right? For you to break my heart, you've stepped on the lion's tail. So who is the lion? You or God? Why do people talk that way? Is the expression of God's love. They fail to understand John 3:16. For God so loved, not Joshua, Yusuf, the world. And gave his what? His only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. So people will remain in their darkness for a while before they believe. And some, in that waiting period, they might never believe. But God's long-suffering still chases. But who do you think? Oh, he chases me down. Why do you think it's only you that God's love can chase? What did Paul say? He says, oh, no man, anything. Look at Matthew 5, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 38. Don't forget, we looked last week in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, right? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Is that correct? And thou shalt love thy neighbor. Is that correct? Now look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Hold on. Is that a normal, natural human reality? Yeah? Yeah, that's the Gen Z's phrase. Aura for aura. Right? So if they slap you, what do? You slap again. Is that what we know? So does that mean? So listen to me carefully. Does a non-believer know to slap when they are slapped? Yeah? So you don't have to be a Christian to know that you can slap back because they slapped you. So if you are a Christian, what should distinguish you from an unbeliever? If an unbeliever can be slapped and the first response is slap back, you too, they slap you, the first response is you slap back. What's the difference between you and the unbeliever? Nothing. This is what Jesus says. He says, you've been told. You have heard it. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, verse 39, that ye what? Resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy left, on thy right cheek, what do you do? Turn to him the other also. What he's saying there, listen. If they slap you on your left cheek, right, what is a human natural mind supposed to do? Retaliate. Let's look at this literally, but this is not the meaning. When you are slapped on your right cheek, what did Jesus say you should do? That is literally speaking, but that's not what it means. It just really means seek reconciliation. Are we together? Yeah? It does not, it just really means seek for reconciliation. Because there are some slap, if they load you, you don't even have the energy. This is how you will turn your body, for them to load the other side. Because you cannot turn your neck again. So Jesus is not saying, so if you slap on the right cheek and you turn your left cheek, that is not what Jesus is teaching. Is that correct? Yeah? What is that? Let's look at it from the lens of human thinking. What is that? Somebody say mumuism. Somebody say foolishness. Are we together? So he says, and if any man will see you there at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloth also. Now look at verse 30, verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go in my go with him twice. Give him that accept thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Now let's read verse 43 together, everybody. Ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Is that logical speaking? Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate your enemy. Are we together? Is that what the word teaches? Is that what the word teaches? Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate your enemies. Does this sound logical? Huh? But I say, so who is the he that said? Is that the one that died for your sins? Is that the one that lives on your inside? Is that your King of Kings? Your Lord of Lords? Your omnipresence? Omniscient? You know, we know how to call him all the names. So, but that one you call, look at what he says. I say unto you, let me ask you, if the word speaks to you and Jesus speaks to you, who should you listen to? Jesus, all right? So he say unto you, love your enemies. Hold on. Love your enemies. Love your, what does the word teach? Love your neighbor. Can we say love your friends? Is that correct? And hate your enemies. What did Jesus teach regarding enemy? Love your enemies. It's in your Bible. Okay? Bless them that curse you. What does bless them that curse you mean? Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Do people do bad to you? Do people hate people? Can people hate you? So do bad, or do good rather, to them that hate you. Now let's read the next part there. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And pray, are you in your Bibles, everybody? 1, 2, 3, go. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. What does Jesus expect of Stephen when he was being stoned to death? Did he pray for them? What did he say? Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. People that know what they were doing. People, somebody carries to you, say, don't know what he's doing. That is what Jesus teaches. Now listen to me. Is there anything that somebody can do to you that is higher than wanting to kill you with stone? Listen to me. Is there anything any human being can do to you that is higher than wanting to kill you? What is somebody say? So trying to kill you should be the max that somebody can do to you. What did Jesus teach? Pray for them that persecute you. What did Jesus do? Do not take this charge into account. Right? Forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. So did Jesus say it? Matthew 6. Where was Jesus crucified? Matthew 24. Matthew 25. Matthew 26. Matthew 27. Matthew 28. So he said it. He did it. If Jesus had done something different, that means we can say Jesus is do as I say. Not as I do. But who is Jesus? Do as I do. Do as I say. Because what I say is what I do. They took Jesus. They met him. They took him. They flogged him. And they took him to the cross. And he was on the cross. And he says, Lord, forgive them. Stephen was stoned to death. He said, Lord, do not lay this charge against them. Are we together? So let me ask you a question. What should somebody do to a believer? And you say, well, like to like, I don't forgive. Okay. You see some Christians, eh? You say, no. Except, no. That one is for pastor to forgive. For me, as long as I am breathing, me. As long as my father gave birth to me and my mother gave birth to me, which is, I can never forgive you. Excuse me. I'm trying to say to you, what could they have done to you that is more than trying to kill you? We've seen the example that even if it was that they were trying to kill you, you pray for them that persecute you. You see, that is why the Christian faith is a unique faith. And now I hope you know that the ability to do what the word says is in you. So you don't need a unique power from any world to do God's word. You have all you need to do God's word. So I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. If you are somebody who, when you are cursed, when you are insulted, you know, sometimes you hear some Christians insult, you'll be like, this one is a mature insulter. Mm-hmm. Are we together? Yeah, I listened to a voice note recently, and I said, what? The believer. Right? Somebody insults you, they've not finished the insult, you are giving it back. It's one thing for someone to insult you, you process it. Then you process your thoughts. Then you process your response. You are so in the flesh that somebody insults you. There is no space. There is no gap. You don't have to think. You have a full repository of insults. Right? It is hidden somewhere. You've documented insults for people. And all you need to do is just to bring it out and throw it. Somebody say your father, you say to your mother, like you were so fast. In fact, your mother's mother. Somebody just say your father, you see, you went to their grandfather. You know what I'm saying? Somebody insults you and said, you must be very stupid. You said, you're stupider. Like you, the English evil, like it came from a place of revelation. To tell you how in the flesh you are. You see, why am I doing this series side by side with marriage? You know, we did a marriage conversation last week on Friday. We started on Friday, right? If you can get a hold of this topic called the love walk, your home will work. If two parties can come together and get a hold of the topic love walk, it says, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, let's look at verse 45. 1, 2, 3, go. That ye may be children of your Father, which is in heaven. Hold on. Take it slowly. For ye may be children of your Father, which is what? So how do you know you are acting like a child of God? When you bless them that curse you, pray for them that persecute you. Are we together? So when you don't do that, what are you doing? You are acting like a non-child of God. So who is the Father in heaven? He says, that ye may be the children of the Father of your heaven, right? He's just trying to say you will be associating your conduct with his conduct. Who is the Father in heaven? Look at what he says about the Father in heaven. Who is talking here? Jesus. Who else can tell us better about the Father? No one else. He says, He maketh his son to rise on the evil. Who are the evil? Who are the evil? And the good. And he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. So unjust and just, believer, non-believer. Which of the categories does God refrain his rain from? None. Listen to me. So it means that regardless of whatever a camp does against the proclamation of the good news, God's long suffering is suffering and going to suffer for long. So somebody says, so Pastor, how do you now deal with insecurity? Why are you asking me? Did you see me do flyer for a party? Did you see me join any political party? Who should answer that question? Your president, general, amongst the... You get it? Yeah? They are the ones you throw those questions to. Because when it comes to God, he allows his rain to fall on the just, on the unjust. God does not say, this is the camp where these terrorists are living. Because of that, when rain falls, rain don't fall there again. That means God is good, not because of what man does. God is good because he's good. So it means that the response of the believer should be good, not because of what man does, but because you are good and you have a good God in you. Pastor, you don't understand. Pastor, you don't understand. It's you that does not understand. You get it? It's you that does not understand. Pastor, they've not dealt with you. I'm saying to you that whether I have stories of being dealt with or not dealt with, the word of God says, be ye therefore followers as their children. Now look at verse 46, 45, 46. Let's read verse 46 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? What is he trying to say? It means an unbeliever knows to love somebody that loves them. Are we together? You don't need to be a Christian to know that you should love somebody that loves you. Look how he now says next. He says, do not even the publicans do the same? Look how he says, if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Let's read verse 3 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is what? So how does the Father in heaven behave? He gives his rain and a son to both good and bad. So I give my forgiveness to people, both good and bad. That means you, when you get into a new relationship, you stock their account ahead with what? Forgiveness. All together. You load their account with daily benefits. And that daily benefit is forgiveness that can last every day. We'll look at that next week. How many times should we forgive our neighbors? That man will ask Jesus. What did he say? 70 times 7. Multiply that. That's 490 times. So now that scripture obviously cannot, is not literal. We're going to explain that as well. But let's take it literally. 490. Who can offend you 490 times in a day? Pastor, you've not seen. You have not seen. Because you can only show me one person that will offend you 490 days. It's for them. You see that parable? The master forgave that servant. As soon as the master forgave the servant, what did he do? He went to go and look for a servant that was owing him. We'll look at that next week and say, come and pay back your money. That's how many believers live their life. They forget to understand that they are to forgive because they've been forgiven. Consider on Wednesday. But if you look at Matthew chapter 6, it says, what you call the lost prayer. Is that correct? Our Father. Two times what? 11. Yeah, I know Brother Kwasim cannot miss. He always knows them. Yeah, our Father who art in heaven. Okay. So before you get to chapter 6, where it talks about the Father in heaven, he tells you who the Father in heaven is in verse 44. He is the one who allows his what? Rain on the good, on the evil. His son on the just and the unjust. So it is in heaven. So that Father that gives good to bad. You see why it now makes sense to say, hallowed be your name. Because your work, your expectation, your reputation, only you demands it. Only you deserves it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our what? Daily bread. Now, in the Greek, a good way to read that, we'll look at that on Wednesday, is you give us this day our what? Our daily bread. Hold on. I'm the bread of life. Who's the bread of life? Christ Jesus. So what is daily bread? If God came to your house to knock on your door every day and gave you bread, will you not get angry at God at some point? Sometimes you won't hear the bell. You say, who is there? You say, God. Just drop it. Let me just drop it at that corner. Then I'll pick it up later. So the word daily bread there has nothing to do with the bread that you eat every day. Pastor, it's a figurative expression for food, not necessarily bread. All right, but I didn't know many Christians who don't eat for days. Not because they are fasting, but because they cannot afford it. So, give us this day our daily bread. The next verse explains it. It says, forgive us our trespasses. Listen to me carefully. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I don't like that kind of God. If God should forgive me based on how I forgive people, I'm in trouble. Forgive us this day our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does that mean? God wakes up and looks at your calendar the last day before. Did you forgive well? Yes, I forgive you. Did you not forgive well? No. I'm not forgiving you. Following. Yeah, you're forgiven. Following. So a good manuscriptal right of view of that, a good way to look at the original manuscript, we'll look at that as I said, we've seen it over time. It is you forgive us. You forgive us still. So when God forgives us, who are we? We are forgiven. So you forgive us our trespasses so that we can be mimickers of your forgiveness. So that we can be followers of your forgiveness. So that we can be imitators of your forgiveness. So we watch how you forgive us. Then we take from that template and forgive others. So you forgive us our trespasses so that we can forgive our trespassers. Abi? Yeah? So God does not put the initiating factor on your table. He leads by example and says, follow. So you've been forgiven because he laid down his life for you. Bible now says in Romans chapter 13, verse 8, owe no man anything but to love. It says the whole commandment is fulfilled in this. Thou shalt love, listen to me, everyone. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What does as thyself mean? As thyself has been loved. So I love you the way, not the way you love me. I love you the way God has loved me. So love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, means receive of his love. When you receive of his love, what do you now do? You give the love. Nobody can forgive properly without looking at how forgiving they are. So love the Lord thy God, then love thy neighbor as thyself. It does not mean, oh, I like people to love me with chocolate, so I'll start buying chocolate for people. No. It is at the extent of love that God has demonstrated towards me. Romans chapter 5, that while I was yet without strength, while I was yet an ungodly, while I was yet far away from, alienated from the kingdom, the citizenship of his kingdom, what happens? He has brought me near and he has said to me, Joshua, you are forgiven. What does that now do for me? It is now go and forgive others. So I say to you today, what is that thing that seems complex? As long as I am breathing, you sing that one. I will always, and you stay in the same breath, say, as long as I'm breathing, I won't forgive you. So you are doing two things as long as you are breathing. As long as I'm alive, I will not forgive you. No, as long as I'm alive. As long as I'm alive, it means I have received. It means that I can remember that I've received of his love and I can forgive regardless of what they've done for me. Let me tell you where the problem lies. Many times, we want people to change before we forgive them. But God's word forgives before people change. Look at your neighbor and talk about the things we've learned today.